Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Olivia Leo and Mario Ritter. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and later, Jill Robbins and Phil Dierking will bring us this week's education report. But first, the Department of Homeland Security will make an additional 15,000 H-2B visas available for American companies to hire low-wage foreign workers. In a written statement on Monday, DHS Secretary John Kelly called the move a one-time increase. President Donald Trump has supported a policy called Hire American. He wants U.S. companies to hire American workers instead of foreign ones. He has also repeatedly called to limit immigration. But a DHS spokesperson said, without the extra foreign workers, some U.S. businesses could suffer irreparable harm. In order to hire foreign workers through the visa program, businesses must show there are not enough U.S. workers able, willing, qualified, and available for the jobs. The H-2B visa is a temporary work visa for foreign workers to work in the United States at non-agriculture jobs. The U.S. limits these visas to 66,000 per year. That limit has already been reached for 2017. According to the State Department, there were 85,000 H-2B visas issued in 2015. This was due to some returning workers being able to receive exemptions from the limit. However, Congress did not renew the returnees' exemptions when they expired last fall. Some U.S. industries, like the tourism industry, depend heavily on seasonal workers. They say they have struggled to hire enough people since the H-2B visa exemptions expired. To address this problem, Congress recently permitted the Department of Homeland Security to go over the 66,000 visa limit. The new rules will be published in the General Register later this week. Businesses will then be able to petition for additional visas. President Donald Trump's business has used the H-2B visa program to staff his private club Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Trump has also used the club to host visiting heads of state several times.
Pro-Russian rebels in eastern Ukraine have announced plans to replace Ukraine with a new state. Yet, Russian officials played down the announcement. They said the rebel proposal was simply a part of public discussion. Alexander Zakharchenko, head of the self-described Donetsk People's Republic, talked about the proposal in an appearance on Russian television. He said that rebel fighters in Donetsk, Luhansk, and other areas would form a state called Malorossiya. In the Russian language, Malorossiya means Little Russia. It was a term used to describe parts of modern-day Ukraine when they were part of the Russian Empire. Zakharchenko said the proposal is, in his words, a peaceful way out of a difficult situation without war. It's our last proposal, he added. More than 10,000 people have died in fighting since Russia-supported rebels took control of parts of Ukraine's Donetsk and Luhansk regions in April 2014. The fighting started after Russia took control of the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine. The Associated Press reports that Zakharchenko's announcement was unexpected. It added to concerns about a 2015 ceasefire agreement that was meant to stop fighting in eastern Ukraine. Leaders from France, Germany, Ukraine, and Russia negotiated the agreement in Minsk, Belarus. Under the deal, the rebels would return control of the territories they had captured to Ukraine's central government. In exchange, the government would permit local elections and give the area the power to self-govern. While the deal helped reduce fighting, none of the political parts of the agreement have been put in place. On Tuesday, the Russian representative at the peace talks in Minsk dismissed the separatists' announcement. The envoy, Boris Gryzlov, said the proposal does not fit with the Minsk process. He also said the announcement does not have any legal consequences. While the separatists are believed to be guided by the Russian government, they have made statements in the past that have clearly surprised Russian officials. Zakharchenko made the announcement one day before the peace talks were to restart in Minsk. Ukraine's envoy at the talks, Yevhan Marchuk, said the announcement could block the negotiations entirely. France and Germany also condemned the proposal. Rebel leaders in Luhansk denied that they were part of the proposal to create a new state. The Luhansk Information Center website reported that a rebel representative said they had not been informed of the plans and have great doubts about the expediency of such a step. Throughout the conflict, the rebel-controlled areas have been ruled by self-declared leaders in Donetsk and Luhansk. Separatist leaders in Luhansk, unlike those in Donetsk, have generally not directly expressed plans to join Russia. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko accused Russia of forcing the rebels to make the announcement. He described Zakharchenko and other rebel leaders as puppets whose only job is to voice the messages they receive from Russia. Poroshenko said Ukraine still supports the peace talks. Volodymyr Fesenko is a political observer in Kiev. He said that the Russian government may have influenced Tuesday's announcement. He said the government may be trying to frighten the West with a possibility of Ukraine's breakup. The Associated Press has reported on Russia's efforts to support the separatists in Ukraine with money, weapons, and new fighters. Russia, however, denies sending Russian troops to fight with the separatists.
Many Native American artists are quitting their trade because they cannot compete with the low prices of fake artwork. William Woody is the top law enforcement official at the Fish and Wildlife Service. He said that possibly as much as 80% of Native American art is actually not made by Native Americans. Instead, it is made in countries like the Philippines. Woody said it is difficult to confirm how much art is fake, but Native American artists are concerned. They have called on the United States government to take action against people who produce fake artwork. U.S. Senators from New Mexico, Tom Udall, and Martin Heinrich heard evidence from Native American artists earlier on July 7th. Udall is the vice chairman of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs.
Harvey Pratt is a Southern Cheyenne artist. He said, when Indian artists are undercut by the sale of fake Indian art, the integrity of authentic Indian art and artists suffers. We are being robbed economically, culturally, and spiritually. Native American art is popular worldwide. It drives many tribal economies. The annual Santa Fe Indian Market hosts over 1,000 Native American artists from tribes across the United States. The market and festival lasts about a week.
Dallin Mabee is the chief operating officer of the Southwestern Association for Indian Arts. He is both Northern Arapaho and Seneca. He said the market brings about $80 million to New Mexico. He said the Native American art industry generates millions of dollars a year throughout North America. The First Peoples Fund helps support Native American artists. They estimate that about one-third of all Native Americans are involved in traditional arts. Many live in poorer areas where there are not many people. They often depend on art sales. But with all these knockoffs that have flooded the market, Indians can't sell their product, artist Harvey Pratt told VOA. So what ends up happening is that artists just quit making art because they can no longer make a living doing it. And what this means is that they lose touch with their traditions.
Udall said, fake Native American art is a serious problem that has gone on for many years. He said Congress needs to see if the Indian Arts and Crafts Act can be strengthened. The act was passed in 1935 and amended twice. It bans the display or sale of art that falsely claims to be Native American. In early July, a case about fake Native American art was heard in New Mexico. 4 people were accused of selling fake Native American jewelry. The jewelry was actually made in the Philippines. If they are convicted, the suspects could face a fine of $250,000, up to 5 years in prison, or both. Cases involving fake Native American art are often not brought to trial. Udall said that there are only 2 enforcement officers that investigate fake Native American art.
Udall said, "We must take action to stop this assault on artists' ability to carry on deeply significant traditions that have helped hold families and communities together for generations." U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement officials are trained to keep stolen cultural artifacts and fake electronics from entering the country. However, Pratt said, there are no programs to stop fake Native American art at the border. He added that there are few people who know enough about Native American art to identify fake artwork. Pratt said, you've got to have an investigative body, somebody that has expertise to run this stuff down at the border. I'm Olivia Leal.
And I'm Mario Ritter.
This is what's trending today. Brazilian soccer player Neymar is one of the world's best, but he is not the best player on his team, Barcelona. That title belongs to Argentina's Lionel Messi. Neymar, 25, started playing with Barcelona in 2013. His full name is Neymar da Silva Santos Jr. Before Barcelona, he played with Santos in the Brazilian league. He helped Brazil win a gold medal at the 2016 Olympics and was one of the top goal scorers at the 2014 World Cup. With Barcelona, he has scored 105 goals in 4 full seasons. Working with Messi and other teammates, Neymar helped Barcelona win Spanish League championships, the Champions League title, and the FIFA Club World Cup. But if he stays with Barcelona, Neymar will never be the team's number one player. That is why Neymar is in the news today. His name was the top worldwide trending topic on Twitter and the top Google search in Brazil. Sports newspapers in Spain are reporting that Neymar is considering a transfer offer from Paris Saint-Germain, known as PSG, of the French league. Neymar declined their offers in the past, but this one seems more serious. The Spanish sports newspaper AS wrote that Neymar's father will meet with the president of PSG this week to discuss a move. Barcelona will receive over 220 million euros if Neymar leaves. In its story about Neymar, AS wrote that he wants to be the primary focus on his new team and not have to be in the shadow of his teammates. Barcelona is coming to the United States this month for a series of games against opponents including Juventus, Manchester United, and Real Madrid as it prepares for the upcoming Spanish season. A Brazilian sports writer posted on Twitter Tuesday morning. He said Neymar accepted the offer from the Parisian team. But representatives from Barcelona said they do not think any team will pay the large price for Neymar. Spanish league teams have until September 1st to complete any summer transfers. If Neymar wants to leave, however, it would be better if it happens soon. The Spanish season starts in mid-August. And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
For many English learners, speaking is the most difficult part of the language to master. To improve your speaking skills, you need to be able to practice with other English learners or English speakers. One way to do this is by joining or starting an English club. In today's education tips, we discuss how English clubs can be helpful to your language learning process. This is part one of a two-part series on English clubs. In this episode, we offer advice for how to start and organize an English club. In next week's episode, we will suggest some fun and educational activities for your club.
There are many reasons why English clubs can help learners of all ages and levels improve their English. The most important reason is that they offer learners a chance to practice English by actually speaking it. There are other advantages, too. English clubs are less formal than a classroom setting. Many learners find them more fun than usual English classes. They also let learners practice English in more real-life situations. This can increase a learner's desire to practice and learn on their own. Bonnie Norton and Ernst von Glasersfeld are learning theory experts. They say that using a language in authentic situations is very important for learners. So is being motivated to practice and improve, they say. Now that you understand some of the benefits of an English club, let's discuss how you can create your own club.
The first step in starting an English club is to find club members. There are different ways to do this. If you are a teacher creating the club for your students, then the easiest way is to put up signs in classrooms advertising the club's first meeting. You can also pass around a sign-up sheet in classes. If you are trying to start a club at your place of work, you can advertise your club by sending an email around to coworkers. You can also put up signs about the club around the workplace. If your club is open for anyone to join, you can use the internet to find members. Websites such as Meetup or Facebook are great places to announce club meetings and communicate with members. Next, you must find a place for your club to meet. This step is very important. The location of your club will affect how many people come to your meetings. it is important to consider several things when choosing a location.
First, how easy is it for members to find and get to the location? It is a good idea to find a central location that is easy to get to. Otherwise, members may slowly stop coming. Second, it is important to find a location that is safe. You want your members to feel comfortable as they are arriving and leaving. If you are a teacher, the easiest location is probably in a classroom or another room in the school building. English clubs often meet after school or work hours. This can make it easier to find an available room. If you are creating an English club outside of a class or work setting, consider holding meetings at a cafe, restaurant, or bar. These places often have enough space for large groups. Club members coming straight from work or school will also have a chance to eat or drink something. Wherever you meet, make sure to speak with the owners of the business or building and get their permission.
The third step is to hold your first meeting. The first meeting is important for every English club. It is a good idea to use the first meeting as a chance to talk with members about logistics. This includes how often and where the club will meet, whether or not there'll be membership fees, and how the club leadership will work. Club leadership is one of the most important parts of starting an English club. If you have a good system of leadership, your club has a better chance at lasting. If your club is small enough or more informal, sometimes all you need is one person to lead the club. The main responsibility of the one leader is to organize and lead the meetings. The leader also must communicate information to club members. However, if your club is large, it is a good idea to have a group of people that can help run the club. This kind of leadership is useful for many reasons. It divides the amount of work it takes to run a club among several people. It also helps club members practice speaking English with real-life tasks. And if the members of your club are mostly students, it can help them develop teamwork and leadership skills.
It is also important to have rules for the leadership system. For example, how long will club leaders hold their positions? How will they transfer power to someone else if they must quit the club? You should consider holding elections to choose new leaders. Whatever leadership system you choose, the goal of an English club remains the same: to keep your club members motivated to continue participating. So club leaders should not try to do everything themselves. In fact, it is a good idea to give tasks to many different club members. This makes the members feel important. They are more likely to remain committed to the club, and it can increase their desire to learn. English clubs can take many forms and serve many purposes. Following these steps will help any club have a successful start. Join us next week as we talk about fun and creative activities to do with your newly formed English club. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Phil Dierking.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.